The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, coming to you from the corner of the Triad Center, right across from the Delta Center, where we've been enjoying this annular solar eclipse. And what a fun experience to have with our listeners who have come out to pick up their free viewing glasses, Ton. And now the sun is starting to reappear.
It is. It's still a spectacular view. We've peeked through the clouds here and there, so that's been really nice. Hopefully it's not cloudy in central southern Utah, where it's probably got dark, or at least a lot darker than here.
Right.
But yeah, it's been a big event. That traffic that we saw, I left Santa Quinn about 7 o'clock this morning, 6:45. We've already mentioned on the news several times, but it was just packed going southbound. And so, you know, hope people have a safe drive home as they come back from this, but I hope they're having fun too.
Right. If you are on your way and you still are hoping to get some viewing glasses, we still have a few left that you can stop and pick up. So if you're on your way, I would say go ahead and hopefully we'll still have some left for you here. We're getting down to like the last few, but we still have a few that are left here.
Yeah, it looks like we've got three on the table.
Okay, let's go back to our phone lines. Ashley waiting patiently in Layton. Good morning, Ashley. What was your question?
Hi, I just had a question about, I have a tree in my yard that's like huge. I mean, it's a really big tree, and it covers about 85% to 90% of my yard. I just wanted to know if there was a flower that I could plant that does well in partial shade.
Well, it's in an area, I mean, you probably have multiple areas, but it's going to be an afternoon sun or afternoon shade.
The morning, the back lawn has the light, and then the front part of the lawn during the nighttime has the light.
Okay, so where you have afternoon shade, there are fewer plants that have flowers, but there are still several options. And so some that I would look at, there's a border plant that does well in shade called Brunera. And there's a cultivar called Jack Frost that I think you'd be happy with. It has a white variegation and spring blue flowers. Then you could also use another one called Corydalis. It's spelled Corydalis, but it's pronounced Corydalis, all one word.
Okay, I've heard of the Corydalis. Yeah,
so that will bloom first half of the summer. And then for later in the year, you could look at Japanese anemone. Those are really pretty through August and September and October.
Okay, then, and when is the best time to plant these flowers?
Well, you may have to shop several times at garden centers to find all of them, because they're not just available at one time of the year. And so as they become seasonally available, and so you might have to make monthly trips to a few different garden centers to find all of them. And so the Jack Frost Brunera, April, May is the best time for it. There's another one called Leopard's Bane that is a really nice spring daisy that is shade tolerant.
Okay.
But then in your shaded areas, I would fill in with foliage plants like hosta that would be really pretty. There are many, many plants that are quite beautiful that have different variegations and colors and things. So you can do really nice shade gardens with your, what you're doing is using the flowering plants as accents, and then the textures from the different foliage plants will be your main fill.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, when is the typical first day of frost in the city side of Hobble Creek Canyon? Jack would like to know.
No idea. How's that?
You don't know?
What they need to do is
We all think you know everything.
Yeah, go to climate.usu.edu. So the website is climate.usu.edu, and you can find weather data from the nearest weather stations to you to figure out your average first and last frosts.
Awesome. All right. So you knew, but you didn't know.
Well, that's where you
find
the answers.
You don't know each specific location.
One of my colleagues that works out of Heber is putting together climate data for that area, and what he's taking is the weather stations and things, and it was wild just within a few miles how the frost average frost free days varied depending on if you were on a bench or a valley floor or had the urban heat effect. But that's where I'd go, is climate.usu.edu.
All right. Kent is on the line in Springville. Good morning, Kent. What was your question?
Well, hello. I have cottonwoods in my backyard. I'm in Springville. I actually have a Hubble Creek. Creek is actually back here as well. These cottonwoods are sending suckers out into my lawn, and I'm getting cottonwood starts everywhere. We've been there about 20 years, and my dad passed. He was taking care of the lawn and the fertilizer, but the last couple of years, I've taken over. And I don't know if I'm just not using the right fertilizer with weed killers, or what would you suggest?
Well, I would recommend just cutting those suckers back is all you can really do. You can try using a product called Sucker Stopper. There's competing brands out there that might be a little less expensive, but you just spray it over the top as soon as you clip, and it will slow them down but not totally get rid of them. Now, is your phone was really hard to hear. On the fertilizer, are you suspicious that the fertilizer is causing the suckers or the lack thereof?
Yeah, I wondered if I've picked one that doesn't have a weed killer in it, or just the wrong kind. So,
well, if a weed killer may damage the cottonwood trees, I don't know how healthy they are, and so I'm really hesitant to recommend anything like that, because if that weed killer gets back into the trees, and especially if they're on a neighbor's property or something, you could run into a lot of issues there. And so I wouldn't recommend a weed and feed or anything like that, and a pre-emergent wouldn't stop the suckers. I think your best bet is just that Sucker Stopper.
Okay.
I would mention earlier that if, you know, I don't know if it's a possibility, if the suckers are coming in from an adjacent yard, you might be able to trench and then put down a 2-foot barrier, but that is a lot of work and that may at least slow them down.
Okay, there's so many cottonwoods back there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of area to trench. Well, thank you.
All right, Kent.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks for your call this morning. Thanks for listening. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. I'm going to come back with the final segment of the show. We are outside today on the corner of the Triad Center, right across from the Delta Center, and we've been enjoying this annular eclipse of the sun, and it's been fun to be out here today. You know, a lot of times we are in the studio and we don't get to see people. It's been fun to see our listeners come by and grab their viewing glasses and enjoy this experience with us. So, Ton, what can you see now?
Nah, too many clouds. I can't really see
it. Clouds have moved back in, but I noticed that they're moving pretty quickly. So
another 5 minutes,
yeah,
and they should be gone.
Yeah, but the sun has started to reemerge, and it was just fun to see that 90%
coverage.
Oh,
I'm getting
coverage.
A little now.
Okay, describe it for us.
Just the top of the sun has a corona on it, and you can kind of see the clouds moving past it. It unobscures, and then it comes back, goes away. So just the top of the sun.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back with the final segment of the show. Again, the phone lines are open if you'd like to give us a call, 801-575-8255. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. The final segment, Maria and Ton taking your calls and questions, enjoying the annular eclipse with you from outside of the broadcast house, right on the corner of the Triad Center. Just fun to see all of our listeners come out and enjoy the annular eclipse with us this morning.
I wonder if Dave can dig up a song called The Annular Eclipse of the Heart.
I don't think so. But it's really interesting. It's moving really quickly, and now the sun actually looks like it's a cap on the head of the moon, just covering that top section of the moon. Let's get back to our questions, though. I know we're running out of time here. Next person would like to know, can you spray 2,4-D now to help control weeds?
You can. As long as it's on your lawn, don't spray any desirable broadleaf plants and follow the label.
Next person would like to know, anything special they should do to bring a poinsettia indoors after being outside this summer?
Yes, there is. I had quarantine it in a bright room for a couple of months to make sure that it doesn't have any little beasties on it like spider mites,
yeah,
or scale or aphids, because those will oftentimes not flare up until 3 or 4 weeks after you bring it in. hopefully they cut it back and let it regrow. If they want it to color up, they're going to need to get it in a room on its own where it's getting about 12 to 14 hours of darkness every night. They cannot turn on the lights in the room where it resets the cycle. So there's that too, but quarantine it for 6 weeks to 2 months.
Next person would like to know what they should do to winterize red hot pokers.
Nothing. Just cut the dead flower heads back. They will winterize themselves just fine.
Is it too late in the year to plant hostas?
If you can find hostas at a garden center, if you plant them, I might put a little bit of mulch around them, but they should overwinter just fine.
Okay. This person would like to know, have you heard of a houseplant mountain turtle or string of turtles, and where would they get one if there was such a thing?
It's probably a species of peperomia. That's a houseplant. There's other names for it, but if they went into some place like Cactus and Tropicals that specializes in houseplants, maybe J&J Nursery up in Layton, because they usually have a wide selection, and asked for it, or peperomia, they could at least be shown what they have.
Next person would like to know, any recommendations to cover up a white vinyl fence?
Boy, that's a phone call.
Nothing will stay on it, will it?
No, it won't. Nothing will stick to it. And if they're looking for a shrub hedge, that's something we need more information on.
Okay, next person says, are there any junipers that would stay about 3 to 4 feet wide?
Yes, there are. One of them that they could look at is called Blue Star Juniper. And those will get 3 feet high and wide. They kind of form a ball look, but you can plant them more closely together. And it has a really nice blue foliage.
Okay, taking a look at... Oh, looks like we have exhausted all of our questions and calls, Ton. I think we've
been
very
successful. We did have one come in I saw earlier that wanted to know if their, I believe, spaghetti squash would continue to ripen if they've had to pick them prematurely. And unfortunately, no, they will not. The way to tell if they're ripe is if they push their fingernail into the flesh, so just right on the squash fruit, try to push your thumbnail in. If it goes in really easily and then a clear liquid comes out, they're not ready. But if your fingernail bends down and is really hard to put in and the squash has developed a waxy coating or a waxy look, then it's done. Leave 3 or 4 inches of stem on it and bring it in.
My apologies. I did miss that text that came in right before the top of the hour. My apologies on that. I've been a little bit distracted by the eclipse of the total, not a total eclipse, the annular eclipse that we've been enjoying.
It's been fun to watch, and I've been quite distracted, too. Usually words are hard just because it's early morning, but today words have been hard because of the eclipse. Oh. But, you know, it's been one of the funner shows we've ever done. We're out on the corner here, and we've been giving out the glasses. We've had a lot of people stop by, a lot of people hanging out with us.
Gave them all away.
Yeah, it's been fun.
100 pair gone. Nice, nice. Just as a reminder to our listeners that they can always find the KSL Greenhouse Show in podcast form at kslpodcast.com. And that's important because during football season, sometimes the show is preempted. Doesn't mean that we're not coming back. It just means that sometimes football seems to take a priority over us in the fall. They seem to think that we don't care about our plants as much in the fall.
And this is a critical time to get your yard put to bed and things, but we do have that podcast. We try to stay up on social media. So, you know, it is there. And that's amazing the number of people that will call and say, hey, I heard a segment on your podcast. Can you clarify or add more information to this for me?
College football does rule in the fall, I have to admit, don't you think?
Not for us.
For a lot of folks. Yeah.
Yeah, I... Dave.
Dave's talking in our ear again. Stop it, Dave. And he says Cougar football rules. And the truth of it is we do have the pregame for today's BYU game. The pre-show. Am I saying that right? I'm not sure that I'm saying that right. Anyway, you can hear that coming up in just a few. Thank you. The extended pregame of today's BYU game coming up in just a few minutes at 11 o'clock. If you weren't here for the whole show with us, the plant of the week was the aster. You can find out more about that on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. You can also learn more. You put up an article, Ton, written by one of your colleagues about autumn leaves and how they change color.
We did. We had a final text come in here wondering why Armstrong maples might struggle. Mm-hmm. And they are just not adapted to our area. And what I would encourage them to do is look up some USU fact sheets on iron chlorosis and follow those, because that's probably what's going on.
Okay. And one person missed out when they should start pruning their perennial grasses, their ornamental long grasses.
Perennial grasses, you can start in mid-November or do them in the spring. It's not very critical. I like to clean them up in late fall because I don't like cleaning them up in the spring from the mess made by the snow.
Okay. That is it for us, Ton. I want to remind our listeners as well that we have put up a brand new video on things that you can grow on trellises. It's a video that we did with Sheridan Hansen at the USU Demonstration Gardens. And if you want to check that out, you can find that on the Greenhouse Facebook page or on the KSL Greenhouse YouTube channel.
Yeah, Yodor YouTube channel, it's a great resource. KSL Greenhouse Show, search that on YouTube.
A lot of fun videos.
Lots
there.
Of good things.
Okay, that's it for us. You can join me again on Monday for Utah's Noon News, 12 to 1, and during Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all of your college football, and we hope that we're going to be back next week.
I heard the game was scheduled for 5:30.